Well, you know what? The same grace that we received is the same grace that we should sow to others as well. It's a reciprocal thing. Now, God isn't hating us, and he's not condemning us, and he's not looking down on us if we fail to extend that same amount of grace to somebody. But what good is it for the kingdom of God if we live like the rest of the world? What is the difference between us and the world other than being saved? You see, it's not about just our salvation, guys. It's about bringing the light of Christ to those around us that are hurting so badly. And guess what? There's a lot of people hurting. If you're ever looking to cheer somebody up, just go to the mall, just go to Walmart, just go to Myers, just walk down the street, just go by somebody driving down the road that cuts you off. Next time somebody cuts you off or does something in a car that you don't like, how about praying for them that they get to where they're going safely and bless them instead of throwing your fist up or whatever else? You understand what I'm saying? And bless them and see what happens. I bet you the anger that you have inside you instantly disappears. Why? Because you're living kingdom life now and not the world life. Amen? Welcome to Graceland. I'm in it right now. What about you? What about you? And you're like, well, I got to think about that for a minute. I don't know, because I'm not really sure what Graceland is all about. You still haven't fully explained it, Pastor Mike. Well, we're getting there. All right, Graceland is a life which we do not lose heart. Now listen, I want to bring an explanation to this when we're talking about not losing heart. When somebody loses heart, that means that they're discouraged. As a Christian, have you ever been discouraged? It's okay to say yes, all right? This isn't a challenge or anything. Anybody at any given time can be discouraged. But what that means is you've lost heart. But when you reflect back, try this next time, okay? This is why I'm going here. Try this next time. When you feel like you're discouraged because something isn't working right, think on those things that are good and right in your life instead of the things that have brought you to discouragement, right? Which means you're thinking on Scripture for Philippians 4:8, those things that are good and right and just and noble. Take yourself to that place of thinking, and then all of a sudden that discouragement leaves. And now you're in Scripture of 2 Corinthians 4:16 that says, I'm in a life which we do not lose heart. God does not want us to lose heart for the simple things that happen in our lives. And sometimes you're thinking, well, they're not very simple. You don't understand what's happened. And the reality is you don't have to convince me of what's going on in your life. You need to convince yourself that you are living a better life or have the ability to live a better life than what you're living right now because of Jesus in your life. It doesn't mean we don't go through issues, but it definitely means we have the ability to handle our issues in a better way. We don't have to flip out, if you will. I used to flip out, right? I used to flip out, right? Over the little thing. Why? I don't ever go hoarse when I yell, really, because I got really good at yelling. Anyways, now I just praise Jesus and it's better. But I'm probably not talking about myself only, right? Okay. No, it ain't me. So Graceland is a life in which we do not lose heart. It's also a life in which we are exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. Now, to understand that, a tribulation is not it's not joy. Okay, so it's not just when things are good, but in tribulations, which means great trouble or suffering. So when we have great trouble in our life or suffering in our life, we still have the ability to be exceedingly joyful. Amen. Has anybody, since you've been saved, had joy in your life when other people around you who maybe didn't have a close relationship with God or weren't saved, they were freaking out, but you were just full of peace and joy and everything was okay? Yes. Have you ever had that happen? Yes. That's not of this world, guys. That is like something that not everybody can experience unless they give their life over to Jesus Christ. That's part of the importance and the understanding of Jesus being Lord and Savior of our life. He doesn't just save us from hell and damnation. He saves us from ourselves. Because ourselves, our flesh, will easily say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm out of here. I'm not going to put up with this. That's what's happening in our marriages, guys. And gals, is, you know what? It's got a little tough, and so I'm done. I loved you before. I don't love you anymore. I'm out of here. It doesn't have to be that way. When you start to extend grace, even when it's not deserved, because that's what Jesus did to us, right? He extends the same grace to us when it wasn't deserved. Undeserved favor, that's what it is. So, these tribulations that we have, listen, why do we have joy? If you have the understanding that this is all temporary, guess what? You can be joyful then, because this will not last forever. Guess what? Tomorrow will come. And guess what? The next day will come. And guess what? The next day will come. It doesn't have to be a full entire bad day. It's just a portion of a bad day. But don't make it your whole day. Just quit looking at the trial in front of you and look at the glory of God that's all around you and in you. Graceland, a life in which we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Romans 8:37. More than conquerors. Now, being in the military for 9 years and growing up in gangs in Long Beach, California, and in the streets and all these other things, and not being saved till I was 34, you know, I thought I was conquering a lot of things in my life, but I never really had true victory until I came to Jesus Christ. You know, there was a point in time when many of us, to include women as well, that probably thought, man, you're pretty much got it all together. You don't need a Savior. You don't need anything else in your life because it's you, yourself, and yourself, right? And you can handle it. And if you're not doing it, it's not going to get done. But the reality is we fall short all the time, and then we play the blame game, like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Eve ate of the apple, blamed the devil. Adam ate of the apple, blamed Eve. It was just a blame game all the way around. And the world has taken that to another level, man. Everybody's blaming everybody for all the other issues, man. Just stop what you're doing. Take responsibility for yourself. Look at yourself and know that God can change you, yourself, through Christ Jesus. And you can conquer the world, man. You can conquer the world. Our lives are a mirror of the Old Testament. The Israelites walked in three lands, and so have we, and still do. And so this is where I'm getting into the area where I want to explain this grace land a little bit better, a little clearer, so you can understand and maybe put to an understanding in yourself where we used to be and where we are now. And hopefully everybody enters this place of grace land. Egypt, the wilderness, and Canaan. Now listen, guys. Egypt has its own representation of things, right? The wilderness has its own representation of things. And Canaan, which I said equates to the promised land, which I'm equating to Graceland, all right? If you look at this, the three land comparison. First one, Egypt. Second one, wilderness again. Third one, Canaan. With Egypt, this is what we get. In Egypt, the Israelites were slaves to the Pharaoh. In other words, they were slaves to another king. Although they were the chosen people of God, they were slaves to another king. You know, that speaks to idolatry in our lives. You know, the Bible says, have no other God before me. And so what happens is there's a lot of things that can take us out. There's a lot of things that could be like, well, you know what? I really want to do this instead of that, and so that's what I'm going to put all of my time and effort in. Whatever that may be, you can fill in your own blank, and it completely takes you away out of giving glory to God. And, you know, instead of Chaplain Chuck used this analogy, and I've said it many times up here before, you wake up in the morning going, oh, God, it's morning, instead of waking up going, good morning, God, you know, because you put God by the wayside, even though you've made him Lord and Savior of your life. You've now got another king in your life, and whatever that may be. Sometimes we like to make depression and misery our king. Think about it. Sometimes the only thing you can focus on in life is how miserable your life is.
Come on.
Just reality. But we have a way out. Bondage. Egypt represents bondage. We could have an altar call every Sunday in churches all across the world with Christians who have been saved for many, many, many years and say, come lay your bondage at the altar, and still have people come up. Now, this isn't coming against anybody. I'm not condemning or coming against anybody. This is just the reality of things that creep up in our lives, right? This is just stuff that happens. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm joyful, exceedingly joyful. And yes, I can make it through all these tribulations. And I'm more than a conqueror. But I got bondage on me. Last week, Pastor Weldon talked about the Romans for torture. What they used to do is strap a dead body on a live person as a punishment. And that dead carcass would just rot away into your flesh while you're still alive. The dead body would rot into you. And it was one of the most horrible ways to die. And that is what we're still doing today as Christians. We've got this bondage on our backs because we're not allow things to just drop away. You can today. Egypt also represents unsaved. But I'd also like to say that there are people who are kind of in this area who are saved but still living that way. Still living in bondage and still serving maybe some other thing that they've made a king in their life. The wilderness, slaves to fear. Now remember, the Israelites, after the 10 plagues, after Moses, you guys with me so far? They were set free from the bondage and the slavery in Egypt. And they were placed out into the wilderness. And they wandered around. But they did not have to wander for 40 years. They sent 12 spies over the Jordan River to the promised land to go in there and look and check it out. And the spies went in there. There was 12 of them. And they looked and they saw this land flowing with milk and honey, this promised land, this great, beautiful land. But they became slaves to fear because 10 of the 12 came back. Or all 12 came back, but 10 of those 12 that came back said, oh, it's filled with giants and it's filled with armies that are greater than ours. And so, because they lacked the faith and they lived in fear, do you see many times faith and fear are the opposite, right? So they didn't have the faith to go into the promised land, although God already told them it was theirs. They stayed in fear and they never made it into this place. Now, I don't know what may be going on in someone's life specifically, but there's fear that takes place in our own lives that keeps us from truly experiencing the abundant life that God wants us to have. We don't have to be in that fear. And if you have a fear about something, those are the things that you need to talk to God about. Surround yourself with wise counsel and work through the process so that you can move on and get out of the wilderness into Graceland. Amen? We also have in the wilderness, we're living lives as saved individuals. Jesus Christ our Lord, but we're still walking in fear. This is the individual that is the defeated Christian. In the United States of America, they say that 80% of the U.S. would claim Christianity. Many of them have a skewed understanding of Christianity, different things like that. We don't need to go there. But 80% of Americans would say, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian. 20% of those Americans go to church. And maybe the statistics have changed a little bit, but not a whole lot. Now, there's a lot more people in church, though, when something really, really bad happens. And then the churches kind of get flooded for a season. But then people creep back into their old way of life. And you see people all the time living defeated lives as Christians. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. But yet, we don't grab onto that and we just still live these lives defeated. You guys can put, those of you listening on Facebook and things like that, you can put into the blank of whatever it is in your life that's defeating you, whatever it may be. But this is an inventory that you have to do on yourself. You have to just wake up someday, guys, and just say, okay, this is where I'm at right now. I want to be right here. How do I get right here? I've got some blockages. And those blockages may be bondages. They may be fear. They may be whatever. But it's causing you to live not a life more abundantly, but a life defeated. And you don't have to be in the wilderness. Not as a New Testament Christian. You don't have to be in the wilderness. So Canaan, these are the people of promise. I'm going to read a scripture here out of Joshua. Can you turn that light on for me real quick, please? This is Joshua 21, verses 43 through... Oh my gosh, I can see. Hallelujah. I got to tell you, I just got these like progressive glasses on Thursday or something like that, and I'm still getting used to them. It's like I can see here, and then I can see here, but I can't see out there here. So anyways, so if you see me bobbleheading, you know, it's because I'm trying to figure them out still. So Joshua chapter 21, verse 43. Now understand, Joshua was one of the spies that went over and said, we are well able to take the land. He was a man of faith, okay, him and Caleb. And so the two out of the 12. But this is what had happened. Verse 43, so the Lord gave to Israel, hold on, first things first. See, in the wilderness, they were slaves to fear. You got that? They were slaves to fear. But what does the Bible say? The Lord gave it to them. So they already had it to possess. They were just afraid to go and possess it. They were afraid to actually take hold of what they already had. And that's what happens in our life sometimes. We don't get in the Word and understand that I've got all kinds of stuff available to me. But why aren't I getting it? Well, maybe it's fear, or maybe it's just a lack of understanding or a lack of knowledge, or you just haven't heard about it yet, you know? So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side. Now I'm reading out a New Living Translation. I'm not sure what words may say if you're New King James. But the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised, wow, their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against him, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. Listen, the God back then is the same God today, will be tomorrow. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God has laid out promises for us. He has told us as New Testament believers that we are his children, that he is a good father. Our earthly fathers being evil, knowing how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly father give? These are things, when I'm telling you, when you're feeling down, man, preach yourself happy. These are things that are realities. We wonder, how come those that we're praying for are getting jobs and others aren't getting jobs? Well, maybe it's because they've got a really, really good outlook on how things are really happening, and they're looking at what their father can give to them, and they're believing, and they're trusting in it, and they're not losing heart, right? They're right there with it, understanding and believing that it's going to take place. You can turn the light off again, please. So Canaan, this is the people of promise. These are the people. Canaan is Graceland. I want to say, I'm that person of promise. And you need to make it your own declaration. You're that person of promise. You've entered into this land of grace where God forgives you. God loves you more than you love yourself. God wants you. God doesn't make junk. God's there for you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God is your strong tower, your high tower, your fortress. Man, he's the door, the way, the truth, the life. And it goes on and on and on. All of these names. God with us. Let him fight your battle next time you're in one. Wow. The The world's armies cannot defeat you. They can't defeat you. And when that day comes that you go to glory, you're in heaven. Wow. Win, win. More than conquerors. In Canaan, the promised land, grace land, you're saved. But you're more than saved. You're living abundant life. You're looking at things with the way the eyes that God sees with. You're not seeing evil people. You're seeing evil and people as separate. Do I need to explain that? Bad stuff happens, guys, but people aren't our enemies. People are not our enemies. Sometimes people are stopped from doing something, but they're not our enemy. It's the God of this world that has blinded them that is our enemy. Think about it. Think about it. When you start looking at the powers and principalities of darkness as causing things in someone else's life that's bad versus that person, it is a lot easier to forgive that person. Because now you understand that there's things at work behind the scenes that you can't see. Just like people can't see God that is this behind or in you working until you actually do something. When somebody who does something evil does something, we don't see it, but the evil's already there. I heard this the other day, and I thought it was really good. You know, the church has gotten really good at shaming people, right? Yep. Shame on you. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you messed up. Shame on you. And we're trying to shame, if you will, evil out of somebody. Do you know you can't shame evil? Because I'll tell you, shame is evil itself. You can't shame evil out of somebody. It is the goodness of God that draws people to Him. The goodness of God. Yes. Right? So this person, these individuals that go into the promised land, Canaan, Graceland. These are the victorious Christians. These are the Christians that are, well, everything I've been talking about. The ones that are not cursing out the individual that cut them off. These are the ones that are being the light in the midst of somebody else's darkness. These are the ones that have joy and tribulation. These are the ones that have peace that passes all understanding. People can't figure out, why are you so happy? Why are you so peaceful? I got God in me, man. What a witnessing tool. Well, why do you have peace? What did God do for you? Man, He changed my life. He changed the way I think. He changed the way I look at things. He changed the way I hear. He changed my marriage. He changed my kids. He changed my entire being from A to Z. I am free. I am free. Canaan is a life defined by grace, refined by challenges. These challenges we have, guys, just continues to refine us and to be better, more patient individuals. It builds our character in who we are as a Christian. Having a challenge isn't a bad thing. Having a challenge makes us change. Who moved the cheese? You guys read that book? I haven't read it yet, but I understand the gist behind it. Somebody comes in. My seat's not available in church. Well, it's not the end of the world. Sit somewhere else. But somebody moved. It's okay. Roll with the flow. Go with the flow. Change. It's all right, man. It's okay. Change is not a bad word. It's a good word because God changed me. Changed me. Yeah, all right. Yeah, thank God He changed you. Refined by challenge and aligned with a heavenly call. Every single one of us are called. And I don't know what your call is. And maybe you don't know what your call is. But ask God and He'll let you know, man. He'll let you know what's going on in your life. In Graceland, we win more often than we lose. We do lose, but we win a lot more often. So I'm not going to focus on the loses. I'm going to focus on the wins, right? Because that's what I use to preach myself happy. Those are the things that I fall back on when I'm having a bad day. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. It could always be. I learned this in the military. Listen, when you think you're having a bad day, it can always be worse. It can always be worse. So don't just get totally lost and discouraged. As in Graceland, we forgive as quickly as we're offended. These are the things that keep us in Graceland. I'm not going to be in unforgiveness because you've offended me. Now watch, everybody's going to come offend me just to challenge me, right? No, I'm just kidding. Good idea, yeah. In Graceland, we give as abundantly as we receive. Listen, as a Christian, and this took me all of a few weeks to figure this out, that what I have on earth isn't mine. For me, that was a really, really healthy way for me to come to an understanding that, you know what? God knew my kids before Steph and I ever even thought about them. God knows the situations that are happening in my life. God knows whether or not my house is going to flood because of the Tittawassee River or not. But I have peace in the process of all of that. And it didn't flood, by the way. But you know what I mean? When I gave my kids over to God, I found peace and joy because I knew that He loved them more than I do. Yes, and I'll die for my kids.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus died for everyone. I don't know if I'll die for everyone, right? Yeah, we serve an awesome God, man. We serve an awesome God. I'm closing with this, guys. Now remember, in the promised land, God gave them rest on every side. Rest, you can equate to peace, you can equate it to joy, you can equate it to an easy feeling. Rest is good, right? I feel good when I'm rested. Matthew 28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." 29. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. At any given time, you can have a burden, you can have just a heavy in your life. At any given time, guys. But Jesus fixes it. When you come into a relationship with Him, realizing that you don't have to do a bunch of stuff, it was already done by Him. And you believe and think and act right in that manner, knowing that He loves you. The burden He gives is light and easy, man. The world's burden is heavy and hurtful. And hurting people hurt people. There's enough hurting out there and enough people being hurt out there. The church does not need to be another person or prop situation making more hurt. A Graceland Christian is going to forgive. A Graceland Christian is going to give. They'll be humble. They'll be joyful. They've picked up the burden of lightness and not heaviness. They found rest, and they're being taught by Jesus Himself, walk in a place of humility. Stand with me as we close in prayer. Now, Father, You know the ins and outs of everybody's heart that's here right now, Lord. Father, the heavies that some may carry, the tribulations that some may be going through. Father, I know that we all have cares, some good and some not so good. I just pray right now, Lord, anyone that finds himself burdened and heavy, without rest, those that don't know You as Lord and Savior, those that have never met You, Father, that they would just come to a place of an understanding that You are the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. Father, I thank You for this Graceland that You've given us, that changes our mind and changes our heart, that gives us the ability to love deeper than we've ever loved before, the ability to forgive greater than we've ever forgiven before, the ability to look at life as a blessing and not a curse, the ability to shed joy and happiness to others who are in misery. Father, I thank you that you use the body of Christ, the church itself. I ask, Lord, that you bless each and every one that made it here today. And Father, as they leave today, I thank you that the burdens will be lifted from them. Lord, that they can walk light and easy with you and find true happiness in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Father, if there's someone who has never met you before, I pray that they would just declare that you, Jesus, are Lord of their life. They would understand how much you love them. That they would just confess with their mouth that, yes, they know they've done wrong, but they thank you right now for forgiving them and coming in to live in their life. Father, I pray for visions and dreams to be upon the church body. Father, that we would see the glory of you deeper and greater than we ever have. Father, we thank you that you heal the sick and you mend the broken heart. Father, today we give you all grace, all praise and glory. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a beautiful week.